I'm Theo.
And I'm Juliet.
And this is Apologies Accepted.
We offer an entertaining look at some of the big issues in history by examining public apologies of the famous and infamous.
We're looking at politicians, serial killers, actors, and you.
Send us a public apology you would like to make, and we'll read it on the air and give you a chance to redeem yourself or just get some guilt off your shoulders.
We're here for you. Once a week, maybe more if you're really, really sorry.
Welcome to Apologies Accepted. I'm Juliet.
And I'm Theo. And this is a podcast where we look at apologies made publicly by the famous and the not so famous, and then consider
whether we accept them.
Yes, that's the end.
That's the important part. And today we'll be talking about Kanye West. And I was doing some research for Kanye West. And I have to admit, before I started doing this research, I didn't know a darn thing about him except what had been forced into my awareness via various media. And I had sort of neutral to positive opinion about him. The more research I did, well, why don't you tell me how you felt about Kanye West before we started doing research?
I'm the worst when it comes to pop culture. I know his name. I have probably heard a snippet or two of a song, and he's married to a Kardashian, and right. I know them only because of magazine covers, right? So, yeah, like you, I didn't know a lot, and I thought, oh, this will be a very straightforward apology to review. And I didn't do my homework until this morning because I was
so it's
like,
all fresh in your memory now.
Yeah. Well, it's all good way to look at it. It's all fresh in my memory. But the truth is, wow, it is really fascinating.
Did you think so? I wasn't sure about that. I thought I didn't find it quite as fascinating.
See, I did. And that's weird to me because usually I find pop culture incredibly boring, and I just don't care, which, you know, it drives a lot of my friends crazy who live for pop culture. They can tell you what Madonna's done on any given day or who sold the most albums, and I don't care. I just don't care. But this I actually found super interesting. It's the intersection of race, of power imbalances, of white women in peril, right?
Right. Mental health.
Yes. Mental health. It's just a lot. And I was like, oh my God, we're going to be talking about race, mental health, misogyny, like, I may as well just get the shovel and start digging the hole now that I'm going to be standing in. Because everything's going to be wrong. It comes out of my mouth.
That's not true.
But, oh, it's totally true. Get ready. I'm sure I've got some real asinine things to say.
It'll be a popular episode because it'll be controversial.
Oh, it's going to be. But yeah, and so you're more of the music aficionado than I am. Right?
But not popular music. So I know very little about popular music because I just don't listen to it. And I mean, of all the famous people, I mean, I was surprised that Kanye was as famous as he is. It's like, turns out he's won all these awards and made like $1.3 billion and everybody knows his name and he's married to the Kim Kardashian, which I wasn't sure about. And, you know, he's probably as famous as you can get. And I had only this sort of vague awareness that he existed. So when it comes to my music interests, it doesn't quite extend to that area of the world. I like smaller bands.
Well, he sort of fell into my radar within the past year because he's tripped into politics. And I knew his name. I knew who he was. And didn't have an opinion / don't have an opinion. I did see the 2009 VMAs, though, weirdly, for someone who doesn't care about pop culture. I did see that moment when it happened live.
Wow.
Yeah. And it felt at the time like I was witnessing a moment. I mean, it was so surreal. It was like, this is really something. So if our listeners are like us and they have no idea who Taylor Swift is or Kanye West, hello tongue, maybe we should just take a nice little step back and do kind of a recap of what was going on at that time, who were these people, what led to this moment on the stage.
Okay, so Taylor Swift is apparently a popular music star, but she does country pop or pop country. So I watched one of her videos. I actually watched the video in question, and it was the Hallmark music video of VMA videos, in my opinion. It was very sort of sickly sweet and wholesome, in quotes.
Very, very. Yeah. And very. I liked it.
I hated every minute of it. It was like a commercial to me. Like commercial for Taylor Swift, which is what it is, I guess.
Yeah.
But she's famous, right? Was she famous at that time?
So she was just breaking. Yes, she was famous in the world of country music, right? Okay. So way back in the day, I couldn't even tell you, 2006-ish, 2007-ish, mm-hmm. I listened to SiriusXM in the morning, and they had a gay radio station, and we were living in Dallas.
Radio station?
Exactly, right? it was a radio station where all of the hosts were out gay, and morning was sort of music, and then in the afternoon it moved into talk, right?
Okay.
And the talk was like pop culture, and then politics, and the evening was just general discussions, right? So cool. And everything was done through a filter of,
we're gay.
This is what this means to the gay community. Right, exactly. And we were living in Dallas, which was really Republican, and I was feeling outnumbered, so I needed this.
Yeah.
Like, in LA, I did not need this. I didn't listen to it. I had zero interest in anything gay, right? But what, I mean, well.
Not true. Exactly.
Not true. But yeah. Yeah. Dang. Okay, that was, yeah. The jokes are just writing themselves in my head, and as are other things. But, okay. So in the morning, there was this guy, and he did music, and I didn't care for him very much, but he was a great interviewer, mm-hmm. and he would have these musicians come through, and he'd written for Rolling Stone, so he had some power, right?
Sure.
And he would get some big name people that came through, and much like Howard Stern, I like Howard Stern in doses, right? Uh-huh. People can dislike Howard Stern, I get it, but Howard Stern is an excellent interviewer. Like, you just can't take that away from him. Same for this guy whose name I won't say, because I didn't like him at all.
Okay.
Good interviewer. And he's interviewed this country singer that came in, and she was like this 15-year-old girl.
Right.
And he just was going on about how awesome she was. And her mother was in the room, and it was Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
And he said, you're going to be so famous, and don't you become a bad girl, because then I'll have to spank you. Right? Right, exactly. And, you know, okay, fine. And then sure enough, Taylor Swift ends up becoming super famous. But she started off in country and was very much the wholesome, all-American, blonde country girl. She writes her own music.
Yeah, and that's so rare. That's good.
There's some talent there.
Yeah.
Right?
I mean, they're not bad songs. They're just not particularly good.
Well,
and she looks really sweet. So she looks like a sweet person, but she's probably not. So what do I know?
Oh, get ready. They're coming for you. I don't know. Are they called the Tay-Tays? The Tater Tot? I know there's the Bay Hive. All respect.
Right.
Yeah.
So she was super famous, on her way to becoming super famous. And you had already heard of her. Did you listen to her music before the VMAs?
No. I mean, if he played it on his show, maybe, yeah, probably. But nothing I would ever run out and buy. No, I'm just not a country western fan, right? Or a country fan, period, full stop.
Yeah.
Except for the Dixie Chicks. Thanks, ladies.
Right.
You spoke truth to power.
The Chicks.
But yeah. So, well, now, right?
Yeah.
But so, let's see. So Taylor Swift was this country star who was nominated for one award in 2009, which was Best Female Video. So she wasn't nominated for Best Album of the Year or 20 other things, right? This was her first foray into pop music. And she's 19 years old. And she wins.
Yeah.
And she's not expecting to win.
Right.
Because one, she's 19. And two, this is pop. This is rock and roll.
Yeah.
She's country. She gets that she's blonde, blue-eyed, right? And so everybody's going to be against her. And she wins. And she gets to go on stage.
Right. Right. That's big, especially at that age.
Yes. So. And then we have the moment.
Right. So she was given the award, I guess, and Kanye West jumped up on stage or went out on stage or whatever. I didn't see it myself. I wasn't lucky. Maybe you should be telling what happened. But he stole the microphone from her, just like when she was going to make her acceptance speech. And he said, tell us what he said.
Oh, so I can almost say it verbatim. He said, I'm going to let you finish, but Beyonce had one of the best videos of all time. And
yeah,
I think that might have just been it. And then he got off stage and hands the microphone back to a very confused looking Taylor Swift. And I think Katy Perry summed it up best. It felt like we had all witnessed Kanye West stepping on a kitten.
Yeah. That is kind of how she comes across, like a kitten. I can see that.
Yeah.
She has such a sweet persona.
And so here's all the conflicting stuff in that moment, right? So we have this girl who's wholesome middle America country singer, right? In this room full of sexy pop stars. She's very pretty, very sexily dressed. Sexily, is that a word? And then you have Kanye West, who is 32 years old at this time.
Yeah.
And he is big in music. And he comes up there and he tells her she doesn't count. She doesn't matter. She doesn't deserve this moment.
Right.
This is just the truth of the matter is Beyonce should be winning all the prizes. So thanks for playing. Thanks for participating. Right. And
talk about what is that syndrome you have when you don't feel like you deserve to be where you are?
Thank you. The imposter syndrome.
Imposter syndrome. Poor Taylor.
Yes. So in this moment, poor Taylor Swift, right? Because here she is. She has probably, everybody has dreamed about winning an Oscar or winning a Grammy or winning, some award and having an entire industry just say, like, you're the most amazing thing ever.
Yeah, right? And then this guy comes out of nowhere, grabs her mic,
and
says Beyonce deserved this. You didn't.
Right.
Get your mic back.
And
what do you do?
I'm sure that Beyonce deserves every award ever.
I mean, that
right?
was a better video. Beyonce's video was definitely better than Taylor Swift's video, I got to say. But she did win best video or best something. Beyonce won probably a ton of stuff.
She won best video of the year for that video. And so Kanye wasn't wrong.
Right.
Right.
But it was still an unforgivable thing to do, just about.
Yes. And there's some really sweet stuff about how Taylor Swift moves forward and does forgive him.
Right.
But so back to that moment. So she's backstage. She's crying. She's with her mother. The producers of the VMAs just don't know what to do. Right. And prior to this, Kanye West had shown up with a bottle of Hennessy in his hand on the red carpet and was drinking it in public, full on in front of everybody. So
right.
This isn't a rumor
right.
that, everybody, period, the press, insiders, the public knew that he was drinking. And he was really hitting that bottle. Like, there's no mistaking that the man had to have been incredibly drunk. And given what we know about Kanye West now, since he's come forward as somebody who's been diagnosed with bipolar disorder, it's very clear that he must have been self-medicating.
Uh-huh.
I don't know if he had his diagnosis back then or not, right? But for sure. I mean, I can't say for sure, but just casually, right? For sure, he was self-medicating. Right. So we get into how responsible is he for his actions. And I'm not one of those people that says, oh, drunk people aren't responsible for what they do. You're 100% responsible for what you do, right? But then we have the specter of mental illness. And so how responsible is Kanye for what he did, right?
Yeah, well, I'm with you. I think people who drink are responsible for what they do, and people with mental illness are also responsible for what they do, but maybe to a lesser degree. I don't know. He may not have been able to prevent himself from acting out in some way, but maybe he would have been able to prevent himself from grabbing Taylor Swift's microphone and telling her she didn't deserve the award she just won. So he had to have known on some level that that was not appropriate or really in any way benefiting Beyonce.
Oh, yeah, no. And I would say, given the mental illness and the drinking, but also just the fact that, like, you've got a bunch of celebrities who are young, they're going to, they're irresponsible. They make a ton of money doing what they love. They live in a world where people are yes, yes, yes all the time. They don't live in the real world.
Right.
And you've got all these people together in a room. That's a lot of egos.
Yeah. Right?
So the people who are responsible for that moment are the producers of the show.
Right.
How in the world did you let somebody get up on stage?
Do they have security on stage? I don't know how that works. Do they just let anybody walk out there, or do they have people like guards preventing you from walking out on the stage? I guess
when I won my VMA,
yeah, when you won your VMA.
Yeah, there was a lot of security. There was a lot of security. Now, I think, you know, the VMAs kind of prided themselves on being different from the Grammys, right? So the VMAs were a lot looser, a lot more fun, a lot more unpredictable. It was MTV, the big disruptor of the music industry. They're the ones that destroyed radio, right? Packaged this idea of celebrity that we now have today. So I, you know, was Kanye responsible? Yes. How much, to what degree? Debatable. But the producer's 100% responsible.
Yeah, and that's for sure. I'll put the blame there. I think that what compounded Kanye's responsibility was, well, he did apologize to her. So apparently a few days later, he apologized on his blog and he said, I'm really sorry. And I talked to Taylor's mom and she said the same thing my mom would have said. And Taylor's very talented and I'm in the wrong for going on stage and taking away from her moment. And then he goes on to say, Beyonce's video was the best of this decade. I will apologize to Taylor tomorrow. Welcome to the real world. And then, you know, it's like he alternates between saying, Taylor, you're very talented, but Beyonce is better. And I'm really sorry that I did this to you, but screw you, sort of type of thing. I'll apologize to you later. And I didn't think that was, I mean, he probably wasn't drunk. Well, he might have been drunk when he did that. It was not a picture perfect apology.
No. And what I like about the 2009 VMAs is all of the, like, the, what am I saying? So what is it that I liked about the 2009 VMAs and this moment? And what I liked is that you saw this play out on stage and you felt bad for Taylor Swift.
Sure.
Right? However, if you agree that Beyonce should have won, fine, terrific. It's a stupid award. Who cares? Right? The part that does make you care, does make me care anyway, is somebody who's in a moment of such vulnerability being told that their work doesn't matter, right?
Yes.
They don't deserve to be where they're at.
Yes.
And I loved that the story gets to finish out with Beyonce winning Best Video and then saying, I remember being 17. I remember what it felt like to be on the stage winning an award at that age. I want to give my time to Taylor Swift. And I just thought that was such a Michelle Obama move.
Yeah, it was really nice.
Such a high. I hate to say class or classy because it's just such a crass word to me.
Right.
But
it
there
was
are
very
just those
generous
moments.
And very kind and you know, very sweet. So
and much better words than classy.
Beyonce
it was very generous.
Is very classy. So good for you, Beyonce. I hope you live forever.
Oh, she will. She's going to have one of the best lives of all time.
Yeah, I bet she does.
Oh, she totally does. Sorry, I'm sure.
Taylor Swift's life
Beyonce,
is probably
call and let
good
us
too,
know.
I think. Taylor Swift's life is probably pretty good, too.
I think Taylor Swift's life is great, considering that she's really... And I think that she's talented. I think she can sing. I think she's a good songwriter from that one song that I heard. I've probably heard two Taylor, maybe three Taylor Swift songs in my lifetime. But, and this is terrible, and I'm just going to say it. She's really a teenage girl writing in her diary every night. It's just we all get to see what she's writing.
Yeah, she doesn't really tackle the questions of the age. She sort of writes very personal songs, and she does seem to have a certain level of immaturity and the things that she focuses on.
And Tater Tots, I'm telling you, don't come for us.
Well, prove us wrong. I mean, maybe we haven't heard the right Taylor Swift songs. So please send your email to us. We'll let you know what the email address is at some point in the future.
Right. We may be apologizing to you at some future point.
We may be apologizing to you.
I mean, certainly I could never pull off that level of artistry. So I'm not saying she's not great. I'm just saying that.
Right.
Given my high standards of music.
She's very talented. She's just not to our taste.
Right. I mean, it's just the stereotypical sad girl in a room writing in her journal. And hi, I can say that because that was me when I was 13.
Surely
so
everybody.
I recognize kindred spirit. But so what I do... Okay, so this is what I thought all of our Kanye West apology would be, right? It was this moment in the VMAs. And I forgot, like, there was all this intrigue between them and all these apologies. And
it went on and on. So he called her, supposedly privately reached out to her somehow. I assume he called her, but I don't know, on 2 days later. And she later said in an interview with ABC Radio that Kanye did call me and he was very sincere in his apology and I accepted that apology. And she said, the support I got from other artists and from the fans and so many people sticking up for me, that's what got me to the place where I could accept that apology. So you'd think it would end there, but it does not end there.
Not by a long shot.
Not even close.
If
this were where it ended, I would be like, it wasn't a great apology, but we'll let it go. You know, because if it's good enough for Taylor Swift, then, you know, we'll consider it potentially acceptable.
Totally. And there's this really sweet moment. And so, okay, so we've said that Taylor Swift is known for singing her diary out loud, right? And she wrote an album, I think it was called Lover, and in that album, there's a song that people thought was all about her feelings toward Kanye West, and the song's called Mean.
Yeah.
And it turns out that's not what that song's about at all. It's about a group of people, not Kanye West. She did write a Kanye West song, and it's called Innocent. And that song, it was her, and I lost the quote, it really struck me. She said, I was writing a song to Kanye for Kanye.
Right. Not about
to let him know.
To him. Yeah.
Yeah. That's it exactly. So the song wasn't about Kanye, it was to Kanye. And I thought that was so lovely because it's such a giving thing to say, okay, yeah, you've hurt my whatever the situation. Yeah, you've hurt my feelings, but not only do I understand where you were coming from and I accept your apology, but I'm going to make something for you. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, Jesus, that's just emotionally mature. I was like, wow, that what an amazing thing. Then it gets real immature. Then there's all this nonsense about Kanye wrote some song. Mind you, this is, what, 8 years later, where famous?
Well, I don't know when. Oh, that was later. But in 2013, there was some, I guess it was Gawker, came out with some audio that they found somewhere. I don't know how they got this, that Kanye West was out to dinner in New York, and he said something along the lines of, Eminem criticized my lyrics, so I rewrote them. And because of that, Taylor Swift can't win over Beyonce. As long as I'm alive, he said, if I'm alive, kill me then. As long as I'm alive, you're going to have to deal with it, because there ain't going to be no more motherfucking Elvises with no James Browns. And that was like, oh my God. So he's obviously likening Taylor Swift to Elvis and Beyonce to James Brown, and saying the only reason that Beyonce didn't win that award was because she was black.
Right.
And Elvis is, or Taylor Swift is stealing the work of black people. And I don't know that black people would write the type of music that Taylor Swift writes. In fact, I tend to think they would not write such crap, but that's my opinion. I might get crap for that. But it does not seem to me to be music that black people write historically.
I think it's more the exception when you meet an African-American or black person who likes country music a lot.
Well, the folk music was historically black, and not just folk, but blues. And country music, I think, is based on folk and blues. So it's sort of a more American flavor of those genres.
Yeah.
So
that
white people have sort of stolen from black people. So like a watered down version, maybe.
So I can't speak to that. I know that country music has its roots in Appalachia, which has its roots in Scotland, because everything in the world comes from Scotland. I'm married to a Scottish person. And so I know that a lot of country words like y'all is actually a Scottish word. And that a lot of the, I don't want to call them riffs. This is where I don't know anything about music, right? Mm-hmm. But just a lot of the structure of country music comes straight from Scottish folk music.
Is this what your husband tells you?
I read this somewhere. but yeah, and it's always been weird to me that country music's big in Scotland. Like, people like it.
Yeah.
And I think of it as such a uniquely American genre that it's always weird to me when a foreigner likes country music, and I immediately follow that feeling of weirdness up with, oh, but they don't know any better. They're not American.
They don't understand.
They don't know. Yeah. The dog and the pickup and the shotgun and, you know, all of those tropes. But yeah, so there is this weird thing that you can start picking apart, where we have power imbalance, we have men versus women, we have the stereotypical, because, you know, here's an argument / an idea. Taylor Swift is this blonde, white, young girl who's being imperiled by the black man who's come onto stage and threatened her, right? And so is the level of response that of sympathy that Taylor Swift received, how much of that is race-based? You know,
probably
I can't speak to that.
I would guess.
It's got to be looked at, right?
Yeah,
by somebody who's not me.
Right.
Because here's where I start digging this hole. I'm just going to.
No, I think that's an interesting point I hadn't thought of before. And I think there's some truth to that. And there's also probably some truth to what Kanye was saying about Beyonce losing to Taylor Swift being in part due to racism. So it just boggles my mind how Taylor Swift's video could win over Beyonce's in any category. So he may be right about that, but he still should not have done what he did.
Yeah, oh, I mean, the way that he did it. So I think you raise a good point. You know, it's not that his point was invalid. There was a time and a place to do that, and it could have been done after the fact.
Right.
You know, with the press, et cetera.
Right.
And yeah, that's, yeah, no, that, I mean,
yeah, he certainly had the power to make it happen. Like, it wasn't as though he couldn't make his opinion known after the fact. So that's, you know, obviously more appropriate. So maybe looking back, he would do it differently. I don't know, but it doesn't seem like it. So you were talking about famous, but before that, even before that, in 2015 at the Grammys, they were friendly. Taylor and Kanye were friendly at the Grammy Awards. And apparently Kanye West interrupted Beck at that award when Beck won album of the year over Beyonce. So he did it to Beck too. And then Taylor Swift joined Kanye West for dinner in New York later. So there was some friendliness there in 2015. But then in 2016, he released the track Famous, which you were just talking about.
Yeah, which I don't know very much about. When the controversy sprung up at the time, it did hit my radar because it was in, I forget what it was in. I don't think it was in the news, but it might have made the news. But however pop culture hits my radar, whether or not it was on Twitter or, I mean, I'm not a Facebook person, so I can say for sure it wasn't Facebook, right? But yeah, and then there was this weird, and I don't know a lot about the ins and outs of this, so maybe you know more, or maybe your research will help me understand. But so Kanye does this song called Famous, and in it, he takes some measure of credit for Taylor Swift's success, right? Like, yeah. I made that bitch famous or whatever the line is. And also, I think there's a line in there where it's like, she owes me sex,
right?
She needs to be indebted to me because I made her famous.
Right.
And I can see where that would be very triggering if you're Taylor West. Oh my God, I've got them married. They have children. They're very happy together now.
Yeah. I mean, that's again, another unforgivable thing to do, I think. And I understand it's in the context of rap, which is almost purely unforgivable statements. But, and I like rap. So no offense.
I do not. The same camp as country music for me.
Really?
Yeah. Every now and then I will hear a rap song that I'll enjoy. Like I've heard some bits of Kanye and I'm like, wow, that's really talented. That's really good. Right. And or Drake, I've heard some of his stuff and I've been like, wow, that's great. But aside from that, it's just not relaxing.
Yeah, it's not relaxing for sure.
And I get that's kind of the point of rap.
Yeah, I think most rap today I'm not really very fond of, but I guess I'm old school. So old school rap I enjoy, but the stuff today I listen to it like if I'm here in Arizona and there's nothing else on the car radio, and some songs I like, but as a whole, it's not really for me. But for him to say that Taylor Swift owes him sex is just blatantly sexist, and to say that he made her famous is blatantly sexist, because obviously he did not make her famous. He may have made himself notorious and brought additional attention to her, which she didn't need or want, but that's not really making someone famous.
Not at all. And then this still falls into that camp of, okay, this is somebody with bipolar disorder. How much of this is him? How much of this is the feelings of, I can't think of the word. It's not feelings of grandeur. I mean, it is feelings of grandeur. Delusions of grandeur. Thank you.
Yeah.
So is it that aspect of...
Well, at this point, though, I don't know when he said he was bipolar, but I was just going to say that at that point, he probably should have been medicated for it. But it is tricky to take medication for bipolar disorder. I think most people I know who have had bipolar or have bipolar disorder who are medicated for it are unhappy with the medication. They say it makes them very sort of flat and drugged and more like the low side of bipolar than the more fun manic side, which is fun up to a point. But there's really no good choice, no good treatment option for people with bipolar disorder that I'm aware of. So it's tough, and I would understand somebody not necessarily wanting to take their medication if you were bipolar. I can't say what I would do in that case. But hopefully, if I were going on stage at the VMAs and saying that people didn't deserve their awards, I would consider medication. But maybe not.
It is tough because you're right. I have two very good friends who both have bipolar disorder, and to varying degrees. One has a more severe one has a more severe case than the other. And for one of them, the medication is life-changing and life-saving. And for the other one, the medication is something that is best avoided because life is a shopping spree. And I am going to be a goddamn famous movie star. Doesn't matter if I'm 70. It will happen.
Yeah, well, you're kind of making light of it, but that is kind of the feedback I get from people who take their medication for bipolar disorder. So, and I guess I don't know why I feel I should admit this now, but I have chronic severe depression, and I take my medication, which I'm not too fond of, but it does work for me. So if it didn't work, I probably would have a different opinion about it. Or if it made me feel really down all the time, which I already do, I don't need to take medication for that, I might not take it. So I totally understand. But I still feel Kanye is responsible. Ultimately, if he's not responsible, who is? There's nobody else out there to take the responsibility.
I mean, there's not, right? And so that also opens up questions of like, how responsible are any of us for our own actions, really?
And right. Do we have free will? I don't know. Probably not, actually. So where does that lead us? I don't know. There's no point in having an apologies accepted podcast if we're going to say we don't have free will. So we'll say we have free will for the sake of this podcast.
We totally have free will. We live in that universe. And so, yeah, I mean, I'll say in terms of accepting the apology, I agree with you. I think since Taylor Swift did originally accept the apology and try to work past it and through it. Sure, absolutely. On the surface, his apology through a blog is very much a non-apology. And
yeah.
You know, thanks for insulting me a second time.
Yeah.
If you're Taylor Swift, right? But then he did reach out to her and he did make amends and do the right thing. So,
and that would have been where to stop right there.
That would have been totally where to stop. But then we would have had this great episode.
That's right.
to look at. And I do find it to be this interesting moment, that this cultural moment that touches on so many different important points in that aren't resolved and probably will take many generations to be resolved. Things around race and sexism. And I think really it would kind of be it. Race and sexism are, you could probably just stick two pins called race and sexism in that moment. And yeah, it'd be fun. I mean, perfectly encapsulates both. Yeah. It's weird that this happened 4 months after Michael Jackson died.
Did it?
So yeah. The VMAs, I read a thing on Billboard and it was an interview with a lot of the producers and they
Michael
were talking
Jackson
about
died in 2009?
Yeah.
Are you kidding me?
No.
He died that
long ago? I mean, according to Billboard.
Holy shit. I thought he died like just like 3 or 4 years ago.
No, because his daughter is like 30 now, 28.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Blanket's graduated from college.
Blanket. Right.
So, yeah. But so Michael Jackson died in 2009, probably must have been about March because the VMAs were in July, now September. And they opened up with Madonna coming out onto the stage talking about Michael Jackson and his life, and she runs this perfect parallel with her own life, where she said, yeah, of course, you know, and watching it for the first, like, 1 minute, we'll say, you know, she was like, Michael Jackson was born in August of 1958. So was I. Michael Jackson is from the Midwest. So am I.
Wow.
Michael Jackson had 8 brothers and sisters. So do I.
Oh, my God.
Right. And I was like, okay. And Madonna, as somebody who likes to suck all the oxygen out of a room, you're really sucking all the oxygen out of the room.
She didn't even need to do that. I mean, Madonna is just as famous as Michael Jackson.
Well, so she made this great point. It actually turned out to be a good speech. And, you know, Madonna, 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 right? Not a fan, but not a hater. So what she says is that Michael Jackson lost his childhood. She lost her mother. She's real quick to point out that he became famous at like 6 years old, 8 years old, and she lost her mother at 8 years old. And she's like, that's where things diverge. I lost my mother and I spent the rest of my life looking for a mother figure. He lost his childhood and he spent the rest of his life trying to recapture his childhood. And she did a really good job of addressing the weirdness of Michael Jackson, air quotes around weirdness, because I know people have, you know, they're big feelings about Michael Jackson still to this day. And I have my opinions, but whatever, because I'm moving beyond what the point of all that was. And the point of all that was the 2009 VMAs were expected to be a really stellar, amazing award ceremony because of the tributes that were scheduled for Michael Jackson and because of the level of talent that they had booked for live performances. Lady Gaga did this performance for Paparazzi where she is in a white kind of bikini slash bustier sort. I mean, it's Lady Gaga, so it's a costume. And then near the end of the song, she explodes in the shower of blood, and the blood just starts dripping all over her white bikini bustier, and she's lifted up by a meat hook off of the stage.
Oh my God.
Right? Right, exactly. And it's all about the price of fame.
Right?
The cost of fame. And then you have this moment with Taylor Swift and Kanye West, which was completely unscripted, but also gets to the price of fame, the cost of fame, right? Which is you put yourself out there, you make yourself vulnerable, and you will be hurt because you're vulnerable, right?
That's so true.
Yeah, and we're going to find that out real soon.
Yep. That's why we're not going to read our mail. Just kidding. Just kidding. Please write to us. So what have you been up to?
Oh, wow. Let's see. What have I been up to?
Does anyone owe you an apology?
It's so hard to really collect the apologies that I am due because I am trapped inside my house with COVID. But let's see. I don't think so in real life. Like, I can think of a ton of.
I mean, maybe people owe you apologies from your past. I think that would be legitimate if you want to go back there and talk about how so and so owes you an apology for stealing your pencil in third grade.
I have a good apology. I have somebody who owes me an apology.
Who?
That it relates to the music industry.
Awesome.
Okay. So,
is it me?
It is you. How dare you? How dare you hide your love of rap?
Sorry,
man. No, I knew that about you. So once upon a time, I was invited to a party. And the party was following a casual moment at UCLA where Clive Davis was speaking to a group of music students.
Cool.
And he was talking about like, hey, you're going to be in the music industry. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to do. Right. And I didn't want to go. I didn't know who he was. I, you know, was kind of bored. And the guy that played for Elton John was a professor at UCLA. The piano guy, Bernie something, I think.
Common. Yeah. He's famous.
Couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
Yeah. No idea. Didn't know. Still don't. Right. But he was at the piano and he was playing. Clive came up and talked and. So great. And then near the end of it, this girl came running through the crowd. And I don't know, maybe there were like 300 people in the room, right? This is like a classroom, auditorium sized classroom at UCLA. Yeah. And she said something like, oh, Mr. Davis, you're so inspiring. And you've always told people to take a chance. So I'm taking a chance. Here's my music. And she handed him a cassette. And he said,
oh my God,
great, thank you. I'll, you know,
throw this away when I get
to this. Basically, that's what he did. Yeah. And so I went to a party of 20 people, maybe 20, in Clive Davis's suite. at the Beverly Hills Hotel. Right?
Nice.
And so, no, horrible. It was awful. I completely out of my element, right? Everybody there was like successful, older than I was, et cetera.
Yeah.
My date at the time insisted that I wear a suit.
My God.
And so I borrowed a suit from my roommate.
Oh my God.
Somebody came up to me at the party and said, "You look like you're on your way to Sunday school." And didn't mean that as a compliment.
Well, right? Rude. They owe you an apology.
Oh, well, so many apologies from that night. Like, I'll keep this night in my memory bank so that I can always draw on it. And so I said at some point to my date, "Hey, you should ask Clive to play that tape." And he said something effective like, "No, no." And then, "Hey, Clive, Thea wants to ask you something."
Oh, God.
Right. So, yeah. And then I was like, "Hey, you know, we should hear that girl's tape," because he was playing all this music that was like soon to come out music. Some Aretha Franklin remake of Les Mis, I Dreamed a Dream, which the take on it was Martin Luther King's I Dreamed a Dream, or I Had a Dream. And Clive was like, and I'm saying his name like I know him, right? Mind you, this is like 2 hours at one stupid party. And he, "Oh, it's so amazing. It's so amazing. Don't you think so?" And I said, "No, I don't. I'm a purist. And I think that Fantine's lament remains Fantine's lament. And Aretha Franklin could do something else around racism." And that wasn't a popular thing to have said. So I felt a little bad about that. But so at this moment where I was kind of called out onto the carpet or pushed into the spotlight, I said, "Hey, let's listen to that girl's thing." And he said, "Oh, no, no, no. I've never listened to something like that. And, you know, aside from just the legal implications, it's not going to be any good."
Right.
Right. And I was like, "Oh, okay." And the part that I've left out of the story is that I was so bored in the lecture that as soon as it let out, I ran outside to get a cigarette, right? And that girl was standing on the stairs.
Yeah.
She's waiting for Clive to walk out.
Yeah.
And there I'm standing, smoking a cigarette in a suit, looking like I'm on my way to Sunday school. And I went up to the girl and I said, "I thought what you did was really brave." Mm. And she looked at me and said, "Oh, thanks."
Oh, no.
Fuck you. Little did she know that I could have really forced this issue at that party. And maybe she, and who knows, maybe she's Taylor Swift. Oh, no, the age doesn't work out. But yeah, well, of course she thought I was hitting on her, right? So I get that now. I didn't get that then because I'm like, I'm so obviously gay. Come on.
Yeah, yes.
But yeah, so I'm going to say she owes me an apology.
Okay.
That also goes to show when you're a jerk to people, sometimes you don't get the thing that you want. Because if she'd been real nice to me,
you would have pushed
it. I would have said, "Hey, come on." So long story. Okay. But that gives you enough time to think about your apology. And there's a lot in there.
Okay, the person who owes me an apology is the person who went to the recycling center before me and who threw their boxes in the recycling machine without breaking them down. So I had no room for my recycling.
Rude.
They should really apologize to me. So what do you do in that situation? Am I supposed to take her boxes out and break them down, or his boxes, and then put them back in the machine and then put mine on top? Terrible. Just terrible.
That is terrible. And I don't know. I've only been
that's the quality of apology I have because of COVID. So, you know, if I were getting out and about into the world, but the only place I've been this entire week is to the recycling center and to the Circle K maybe once. Maybe I went to the Circle K. I'm not sure. So there you go. Otherwise, I've been sitting at home with my dog. And my dog has nothing to apologize for.
Dogs are perfect beings. Yeah. So never, ever, ever.
Yeah. All right. What are we going to do next week?
Great question. I don't know. We have a catalog of apologies to pull through.
List. We better go look at our list.
We'd covered some that went a little heavy, and so I kind of thought the Kanye one would be a light one, and it was, comparatively. Yeah.
Right.
So,
I
don't know.
As we go on, we'll be able to more carefully modulate the length of time that the that the podcast take, because I think the first one was 2 hours and this one is probably going to be under an hour, but we'll get better at it. We promise.
And we will also get better at letting you know things like how you can participate. For instance, right. We have a website, apologiesaccepted.net.
Yes.
And on our website, we have a little box for collecting apologies. So if there's somebody that you would like to apologize to, or if there's an apology that you received you would like to share with the world.
Or an apology that you deserve.
Apologies you deserve. Kind of apologies you will never make. Why not?
There you go. I will never apologize to so-and-so for this terrible thing I did.
So, yeah, send us content. Not that we need it. I could talk for 3 hours straight, no problem.
I think, yeah, once we get the email up and running, we'll have tons of interactive content on this podcast, so to speak. So we'll have apologiesaccepted.net where you can go now, and we'll have our email address. You can contact us from apologiesaccepted.net and let us know your opinions about this podcast if you feel the need and the apologies that you have accepted and deserve.
Right. But no apologies from us.
Yeah.
We are the apologies.
Apologies given. This is apologies accepted.
I'm going to owe an apology to our producer. I just laughed so loud and hard that I spiked the audio. Yeah, he's going to hate me.
Yes, and our audio engineer is Brent. So thank you very much, Brent, for your devotion in making us sound good.
Yes, and doing all the work, because it's been great. I am in love with that T-shirt design.
Oh, we have a T-shirt. So yeah, once we will get the T-shirt design up on apologiesaccepted.net, so you can buy your own, your very own T-shirt. And it says, what does it say?
100%. Apologies accepted. Yeah, I had no idea how often I say that.
It's great. It's perfect. We needed a merch idea, and now we have merch.
We have merch. Yeah,
what
absolutely.
So, all right. So that's enough for today, I think. Thanks, everybody. Come back next week and accept any apologies you feel are worthy.
And never say you're sorry.
Thank you for listening to Apologies Accepted, the podcast.
You can find links to the articles and the sources in the show notes.
To submit an apology or find out more, visit us at apologiesaccepted.net, where you can also find our merchandise.
We're on Twitter at apologiesaccepted.
And on Instagram at apologies.accepted.
You can support our important work at patreon.com/apologiesaccepted.
And fuck Facebook.
Bye.
Bye.